when TPT Forward 2024 was announced, and they said that there would not be a virtual version of the conference for this year. I know there were many teacher sellers that were bummed out because they may not be able to make it to San Diego for one reason or another. But I think this is a blessing in disguise because there is a completely virtual conference that did so fantastic last year. It was easily one of my favorite conferences, and that is the Teachers Sellers Summit. The great thing about this is that it also takes place in the summer. This is from June 27th through the 30th, and of course, it's all online. You have not only pre-recorded sessions, but you also get live events. So what I wanted to share with you about right now is information about this Teachers Sellers Summit and how you can level up your business from the comfort of your own home. There are sessions about perfecting your product listings, creating print-on-demand workbooks, opening up your own shop, and diversifying your income streams. But not only that, you can also connect with successful teacherpreneurs and industry experts to take your TPT or teacher business to the next level. Here's what's in store. You have in-depth sessions about mastering key business skills, both on and off TPT, with insights from experienced speakers, a variety of networking opportunities where you can connect with business owners worldwide, swap ideas, and learn from each other's successes, practical tips and strategies with actionable techniques to succeed, whether you're just starting out or you're aiming higher. And additionally, there are live Q&A panels, a private podcast for on-the-go learning, and so much more. I'm presenting at this conference, and my session is about three keys to a successful TPT store brand. So you may be wondering, what does this cost? What's the investment on this? And there are early bird tickets available through April 30th for $99. And you can save nearly 25% by just purchasing in the month of April. But if you're listening to this and it is past April, but not yet June, so May and June, you're listening to this, you can still purchase tickets to this conference for $129. You will get a 90-day pass to all 40 sessions, live Q&A panel discussions, virtual hangouts, co-working spaces, private podcast. If this sounds like something you're really interested in, you can check out my affiliate link in the description where you're listening to this episode. I hope I can see you there. Now, let's dive into this week's episode. You're listening to the Creative Teacher Podcast, a show for busy teachers looking for ways to engage, inspire, and make an impact in their teacher businesses. I'm Kirsten, a teacher business owner who is all about simple and actionable tips, strategies, and resources that result in wins, big or small. If you're looking for that extra spark of creativity, you've come to the right place. Let's dive in together. Hi there, welcome to a bonus episode of the Creative Teacher Podcast. I wanted to really talk a little bit more in depth about content marketing and go into six steps to profitable weekly content. This is something that you can easily do for blogs, podcasts, YouTube channels. It doesn't matter which long form content, you can utilize these steps to creating your weekly content. So hopefully these tips are helpful to you. It's something that I personally have done in my own workflow and my, you know, creating my own weekly content for my blog and my podcasts. Step number one would be to decide on a platform. So before you even get started with creating your content and publishing it, you do have to decide on the type of platform you want to be on. After you decide if you want to be on a blog or a podcast or a YouTube channel, something I do recommend if you have a website is just like making sure you're on WordPress. But of course, Squarespace could be good if you're looking for something super easy to get set up. And Kajabi could be good as well. That could be another great alternative. If you're doing a blog, I think there is a lot more capability and customization with WordPress. So yeah, that's just something that I definitely recommend.
As far as podcasts, I recommend something I use, Captivate. This is my podcast host, because if you do have a podcast, you do have to have some type of platform that can distribute your episodes on a variety of platforms. So Captivate is good. I know Buzzsprout is something people recommend as well. And then YouTube, of course, is a really easy way to have a video show. And that's really the main one I would recommend. Is just, it's easier to get started and you're going to have the most traction as far as traffic. The second step to profitable weekly content would be to plan the frequency of your content. Decide on how often you want to publish your content. Do you want to publish it every week or maybe every 2 weeks? I definitely recommend publishing a new post and sharing it with your audience every week, because it's just a really great way to show up with consistent and valuable content as you're building a following and your audience. You also want to think about how often you're going to write an outline and record your content. Thinking about, do you want to write it out weekly or would you rather batch it each month? That's something I love to do, is batching for the month. You could also decide to knock it all out in a quarter. And so you're just doing 3 months of batching your episodes or your video shows or your blog posts at a time. Just based on my experience, I recommend doing it every month. I take a whole week to just do content. I focus on creating content and I batch that for the month. The third step in profitable weekly content would be to brainstorm content topics. This is the fun part because you get to decide on what type of content you want. Something you can do is think about content pillars. These are just categories or main topics that you share with your audience. Decide on what topics you want to mostly focus on. So let's say I have a math TPT store. One content pillar I could share is the best practices of teaching math. Another one could be mini math lessons, math stations. Another one could be math interventions and math assessments. And then from there, you would brainstorm a list of weekly topics in each content pillar. So if one of my content pillars are math stations, I could come up with things like how to start the year right with math stations, or routines and expectations, top 5 math stations for upper elementary students, activities to practice fluency, maximizing small group time during stations, and then also digital station activities for distance learning. So I wrote these out. I did not randomly come up with this on the fly, just FYI. But right there, that is a whole month of topics to write about and then some. You can either rotate your pillars each month or you can do a monthly theme. Another thing to think about is planning ahead. So of course you want to make sure you're not just doing it week by week. It is less efficient that way. You're likely not going to follow through with creating the content. And as far as keeping track of all of the ideas you might have, you can always put it in a project management tool like ClickUp or an Airtable base, something where it's easy to refer back to. Step number 4 to profitable weekly content would be to create the great content. One thing to remember is to make your content mostly informative and connecting. So think 80% of your content needs to be these two categories. Limit the persuasive content to 20%. We don't want to have like a whole YouTube show, like all the products you have and all of that. Would not be really interesting to listen to. You feel like you're kind of being, it's super salesy and it gives you the ick. We don't want the ick. Also think about using strategy steps or sharing hacks. We don't want to think about blog posts like what we're doing, like, oh, sharing time, what we did in our stations 2 years ago and how the day went and how the first week of school went. People are looking more for tips and information that they can apply to their own classrooms. Also think about the formatting. Keep it short and sweet. The more white space, the better for blogs. But as far as podcast episodes, you don't want it to be too long, so you want to keep it super short depending on how that might look like. It could be 20 minutes, 15 minutes, but some really great podcasts, one of them, my favorite, Crime Junkie. I'm super pumped if there's a nice, juicy, hour-long episode. So it really depends on your audience. Mostly, people who are teachers are going to have less time to tune in, and they might have to listen to longer episodes in sessions. So you do want to make sure you keep your audience engaged. Also, as far as writing the content, think about keeping your paragraphs short and sweet. You can highlight important words and phrases in bold to emphasize certain key points and keep it light and friendly as if you're talking to a friend. Also, make it easier for your readers to skim through. It does not have to be written. Blogs I'm talking about do not have to be written like a research paper that we had to do in college. In fact, do the opposite. I think I've heard sources say that you want your blog post content, or if you're, you know, utilizing a transcript and you're kind of repurposing it for your blog post, to keep it at a like 6th to 8th grade reading level. That's how much you want to keep it super casual. Another way to create great content would be to invite guests in your podcast episodes or YouTube shows. You can bring on experts outside of your field or similar to your niche to talk. They may be able to see who they're about and they may end up following them as well. It's a nice little connection there. Step number 5 is to include a call to action. A great way to market your resource is to do a soft sell, tie in a lead magnet, or a relevant TPT resource, a course, a service, or an invitation to follow on social media. Adding something at the end of your podcast episode or YouTube channel, or I shouldn't even say channel, YouTube video or blog post, is a great way to get subscribers and a great way to get more people to follow you and drive traffic to your store in general. So just weave it, you can weave it into your content. You can do podcast ads that you can interchange. That's something I love to do on Captivate. And it's always great, even in your informative and connecting posts or entertaining posts, to add some type of call to action on what to do next after they listen to that specific episode. Definitely don't shy away from it. If you have something relevant to that specific topic, definitely add it in. But we don't want to make the whole content like this whole pitch. You can have episodes like that. You can have YouTube videos like that, but don't make it the bulk of your channel or your podcast. Last step is to share it with others. When you're ready to share your weekly content to others, the best thing to do is to send an email to your subscribers when a new post drops, but you can also use social media, send a note to followers on Teachers Pay Teachers, and you can even create a pin and pin it on Pinterest if you want to do that as well. This is why I always say you should have something other than content marketing. It's great to connect everything together. I love the term Jinzea from Market Scale Grow utilizes, and that's holistic marketing. It's a nice way to tie in things together holistically in your business. It's also a really great way to boost your store. And when you have it in conjunction with something like social media or email, you're able to kind of weave it in really great and connect it so that you're working it all together and it's not just like something completely compartmentalized or separate. Weave it all in together. Now, I want to touch on something I've noticed, because there are people who really are into their podcast show or YouTube channel, and then all of a sudden it's like gone. We don't see it anymore. And one question you might have is like, what to do when you're done. Like you do not want to create any more blog posts or any more podcast episodes or any more videos or anything like that. Rather than doing, I would recommend not doing like a goodbye episode or a goodbye video like, hey guys, this is the end of the podcast. See you later. I would recommend leaving it open for future people to come across it, because you never know. If you want to leave your podcast up, or if you want to leave your blog up for people to see it, and you know you're not going to be posting any episodes, you're pretty much done, you're wrapping it up, just leave it kind of open for people to come across it as like an archive feed where people can like see those, listen to those episodes, watch those videos. And it also leaves it open to like, you don't have to completely shut it down. You can add anything you'd like when you feel like you want to. So that's just something to think about, rather than being like, this is the end episode. It kind of turns people off. You want to kind of like, you know, obviously it's going to be very clear that an episode hasn't been posted in a while, but at the same time, if it's really good content and people like listening to it as kind of like an archive, I would recommend just kind of leaving it open and just, you know, having it there for if you do end up wanting to come back to it or end up posting a random episode. So it is not the end of the world if you decide to stop. People do it all the time. So it's just something to think about as far as, you know, if you do want to stop, I'm giving you permission to like, just stop. You don't have to have this whole hoopla about it. You can stop it. And if you want to leave it up there, just have people kind of come across it and listen to it. Just make sure you keep it kind of like up to like, make sure the links work and all of that kind of stuff so that you can connect with people in that way. That's a really great thing about long form content is that people can find it. And sometimes they'll go down a rabbit hole of looking through things, and just making sure things are up to date is really helpful for those people who find your content in the future. All right. This is the end of this bonus episode. Hope you enjoyed it and hope you got some tips from it. I will see you again on Monday. Have a great rest of your week. Thanks for listening to the Creative Teacher Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to today's episode, feel free to subscribe and leave a review. I'd love to hear your feedback. You can also follow me on Instagram at thesouthernteach.designs. Have an amazing day. Let's find out what's working well for you in your TPT store. Introducing the free TPT store audit for teacher sellers. After over 10 years on TPT and with many flops and mistakes under my belt, I've been able to hone in on my strengths and what my audience wants. Digging deep into what's working and what's not working in my store has yielded amazing results with continuous growth year over year. Inside your free self-guided TPT store audit, you'll get important audit questions covering areas from storefront design to sales and performance, guided questions to help you reflect and analyze your results, and a video walkthrough filled with valuable tips for successful implementation. Don't miss out. Head over to thesouthernteachdesigns.com/TPT audit, or you can check out the link in the description.